there be?
Didn't know what she was getting into, Bernie.
But the issue was, we were committed to him, to stay with one another, in spite of what came out. Because you don't truly know a person until you have to live with them. More importantly, commit yourself to them. Amen. You can get out of a shacking situation, because all you got to do is walk away.
Right.
But when you're committed to God, this ring means something. Not only a covenant between her and I, it's a covenant between one that gave her that life. You follow me? And when you walk with that type of commitment, God will walk with you.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
It's personal. It really is personal. When God finds someone that he can confide in, can I say that? Mm-hmm. When he finds someone that he can spend time with and who will do what he says, mm-hmm. and won't be making excuses, because we all make excuses. Mm-hmm. Huh. But the excuses diminish when you know who it is that you've got a relationship with. Mm-hmm. Just reading about Polycarp. Polycarp was one of the first Christians in Rome. He was taught by the Apostle John, who wrote the Apocalypse. You know what the Apocalypse means, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Or the revealing. Polycarp unveiled. It was to unveil something. I mean, that's what Apocalypse really means. To unveil a truth that didn't exist before. When you read the old, when you read history, not the Old Testament, when you read history, Christians were martyred, man. We walk around here, we hang out, we eat our stuff, we go and do our stuff. But a lot of these people, they were rich. Polycarp was rich, came from money, well educated, but that stuff didn't do anything for him. I said that stuff, education, entirely, it was empty. Got everything, but I'm still empty. Yeah. Come from Lynch, that privilege. Got, I'm tapped into something great, but I'm still not fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And he found Christ. Mm-hmm. And he started. You know what an apologetic is? Mm-hmm. No person was an apologetic. Yeah. It's no one's always going around talking about, I'm sorry about something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But apologetic is someone who defends what they believe.
That's right.
Yeah. Established a teaching for 40 years, turned Rome upside down. Mm-hmm. And the emperor said, deal with him. Deal with him. So they went to get him at his house. And he fed the soldiers. Mm-hmm. Soldiers who came to kill him.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Then he says, can you give me an hour to pray? And he prayed for two. And then the soldiers like, well, why in the world are we getting ready to kill this old man who's treating us as if we're special and we come here to kill him? And they take him. At that time, they were feeding Christians to animals. See, sometimes we forget what we have.
Yeah.
ISIS murdered Christians, and Christians can't pray. In America.
Yeah.
ISIS is cutting people off. I mean, they follow their leads and say, hey man, do what you have to do. I'm not going to renounce my faith in God just because you got a knife and you threatened to cut my head off. Mm-hmm. You got folks scared to come to church and they sick.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
But this is the place you should come and get healed.
Amen.
But if you've not been taught this, how can you believe it?
Yeah.
How can you walk in it? If you don't read this, anything will scare you because you have nothing to support you. Or you'll believe that if I come into the presence of the saints, the Father will heal me. Amen. After all, when we sing, what the Bible says, the Father inhabits the what?
Praise
of his people. Can I add something to that? Whose heart is for them. You're just not coming out of tradition.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to look good, so I'm going to show up. Say wrong reasons for coming. It's a revelation that when I come here and my heart's connected with the Father along with the hearts of other saints,
amen,
God shows up.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And in an environment like this, miracles can happen.
Amen.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes. Amen.
So when we start talking about Didache, what do we say Didache was?
Doctrine.
Doctrine.
No, I'm looking for my marker.
Oh, the marker.
Katrina was hiding from me. You trying to check my prophetic arm on my discernment?
Help him, Lord, help him.
Didache.
Instruction.
And that's what it sounds like phonetically. Mm-hmm. Means instruction. Okay? Or teaching. Mm-hmm. For the benefit of developing in you a level of revelation of who God is and who you are in Him.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can do the things He's called you to do.
Amen.
See, without the Didache, the instructions, you can't believe the life that you're supposed to live.
Yeah.
You can't believe you can walk into something spectacular. That God can open up doors that you couldn't possibly see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That there's a destination for you in spite of the challenges that you go through. In the Chinese language, my God, when you start talking about the Chinese language, they saw obstacles as simply opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
People who've gone through a lot, athletes, I like to use athletes because I've been there, or people who've gone through some trouble, some challenging situations. Mom is 87 years old. She grew up in Georgia when they were lynching people.
Mm-hmm.
She can see some things. She's seen some things.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for Jesus, she'd be bitter.
That's right. That's right. She would.
If it wasn't for Jesus, she could be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And because she loves Jesus, He's helped heal her heart in certain areas.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because she's 87. And guess what? God's not finished with her yet.
Amen.
Do you follow me?
Amen.
She saw airplanes coming up.
Amen.
At the time when people said, ain't no man supposed to fly. If God wanted a man to fly, He put wings on it.
Amen.
Low IQ. Say low spiritual IQ.
Low spiritual IQ.
See, when you got low spiritual IQ, you can't see beyond what you can see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But see, when you know who God is, because she's had a difficult life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But look at her now.
Amen.
Yeah. It's like talking to her. Because that right there is a resource.
Yeah.
If you let her talk, she starts pouring.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a sensitive heart. You tap into the things of God, you get some things from her. In spite of it. Because when you live with her, you can look at the negative and never see the positive. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
There's something called familiarity. You hang around with people all the time, you forget what you got.
Yeah.
So you have to recognize what God has placed in your presence.
Yes.
And you begin not to look at people with your natural eyes.
Amen.
But you begin to see them through the eyes of the Spirit.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah,
So when I look at you all, say, in spite of.
In spite of.
I see greatness.
I see greatness.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you.
Amen.
And it's an honor for me.
Yeah.
Huh? To be used by God to say, to stir up.
To stir up.
Something on the inside of me.
Something on the inside.
Because the word given is supposed to stir up.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Ignite. Say ignite.
Ignite.
Huh? Spark. Trigger something in your mentality that takes you on. It's not a rabbit trail. It's the divine path that God has for you to spark you into something. Because revelation without research is just information that's not going to take you anywhere. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, revelation comes by research. If you don't read, you don't have a revelation.
That's right.
Now you have disclosure. There's a difference between disclosure and revelation. Disclosure is a fact or a truth that is revealed, which was true but hidden from you. That's disclosure. So something you might call a revelation is simply something you didn't read, hadn't read in the Bible yet. That's disclosure. But revelation comes when something you've already read, bam, something new jumps out of it. Okay, you say, I never saw that before. But that only comes through
time.
Research. Say time spent. In the Word. Could you have gotten your degree without research? Could you have gotten your degree without research? You're in school now. You're at USF. Could you have got anything out of research? Meaning that you had to spend some time to evaluate what they're teaching you so that you can break it down, understand it, and give it back to them in the manner in which they gave it to you.
Yes.
You follow that? And it doesn't start or stop when you get your degree.
No, it doesn't. That's right.
Because when I got my degree, they said, good, you've shown me that you can be educated. Now I'm going to teach you how to do what we want. You follow me? So now, the Father says, I'm going to give you my word, which is the reality of who you are in me. Then the issue becomes, can you walk it out? Say, walk it out. Because the Father will give you insight, but the Father's looking for you to walk out what he's giving you. Bible says, to whom much is given, much is. Why is he saying that? Because the level, can I say this? Yeah, I can say this. There's a level of commitment that comes with knowledge. There's a requirement.
That's good.
That God says, I'm requiring something of you and me. And my blessing to you will be the obedience that you show me. A prophetic word given to you means nothing. You're going to be a great businessman. You're going to be great this, great that. If you don't put your mind and your attention to that process, you'll die with a prophecy of being a great business.
Amen.
And God said, I said it, but you never moved on. Too busy with your life.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
Too busy. Say too busy.
Too busy.
With your life.
Yeah.
Doing your things.
Your thing.
Or what you think is necessary for you to keep what you have.
Come on now.
Yeah.
And God says, that's your choice and you live with it. But this is what I have for you. In essence, it takes courage to follow God. And with that courage comes a breaking down. Say a breaking down. Which is pride. Say pride. Say it's pride. Anytime you put your agenda above God's agenda, you're walking in pride. Pride will steal you, rob you. It'll take from you. So that's all we have to be committed. Say committed. And submitted to what God says. That's why he says, guess what? Not only be a hearer of my word, but I request that you do my word. Because it's in the doing that you experience the promise that was given you as you read it. As you do it, say do it. The promise of what you read and researched now will manifest. Because it can't move, it can't proceed until you begin to believe it. And belief always takes you to action.
Yes, it does.
If you believe in something strong enough, it will move you to action.
Yes.
And in the action, say in the action. The development on the inside necessary to bring that thing to fruition will come your way.
Yes.
Says the inside job. Say God's working on the inside.
God's working on the inside.
Because it's a spirit inside that motivates you to continue on. Because if you believe something bad enough, you'll go through whatever it takes to get you there. People. That's why. Say leaders. Are made. Everyone that's alive has leadership abilities.
Yes.
What makes a leader different from a follower is a leader will sacrifice themselves to get what has been promised.
That's right.
That's what anything. Academics, that's what anything. Spirituality, education, business, industry. Leaders always do more, which means they sacrifice more. They give up more, but in the end, they always have more.
Sure.
You follow that?
Amen.
Greatness cannot come in the absence of sacrifice. Greatness cannot come in the absence of sacrifice. No sacrifice, Josh. No greatness. No sacrifice, George. No greatness. No sacrifice, Reggie. No greatness. Mm-hmm. Got to be willing to sacrifice. I mean, sometimes I might have to stay up longer than I want to. Say, get sleep off.
Get sleep off.
We're sleeping so much.
Yeah.
One thing about Vernon, you and Akari are new. But I'm going to challenge you in this house. That's my job, is to challenge you. A lot of people don't like to be challenged.
Yeah. Coach. Coach.
Because any good coach is going to make you do things that you don't necessarily want to do. But you got to make the decision to say, I need this. And I'll do whatever it takes to do it. Mm-hmm. And not go home and get in your car and talk about me in your mind when you go home. You can do that. God can drain your heart the whole time you're there.
Take you right into prayer.
My week one time,
y'all. Guess what?
I told Rico.
Hey, but don't it take
if there's anybody that knows that, it's the woman that lives with me. Because guess what? If she's going to live with me, she's going to rise up.
Yeah.
I'm her husband. I'm her coach. I just happen to be her pastor. Guess what? She pushes me too.
Amen.
You understand?
Yeah. Two-way street.
She gives me compassion, bro. You know, coach can be hard. But you know, so there's a steel in her. Why? Because the Bible says it takes iron to sharpen iron. And a brother, what, Brother George? It's created for the day of what?
Adversity. That's right.
So God doesn't take two inferior materials and bring them together because it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Takes two materials of the same component, chemistry, and they start to spark until all of the friction is removed. Mm-hmm. And then they start operating like a well-oiled machine.
Amen.
Amen. Because they humble themselves. They humble themselves. And learn how to walk with what? With each other. Say, in unity.
In unity.
The oil comes when unity comes.
Ooh.
Can I tell you? The oil. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The oil comes when unity comes. Where there's unity, the Bible says in Psalms 133, verse number 4, God commands the blessing.
Amen.
So when you're walking together in harmony, you're walking in peace and shalom. And the glory of God falls on that union.
Amen.
And you begin to operate in ways you never thought possible. Brother George, did I give you a bag with some
Yes,
I got some paper. Let's go to Romans. That was the appetizer.
Would you want markers or paper?
Romans chapter 1.
No, no, bring me the entire packet. I gotta get me a bigger table. Romans chapter 1.
Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, a special messenger, personally chosen representative, set apart for preaching the gospel of God, the good news of salvation, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the sacred scriptures, the good news regarding his son, who, as to the flesh, his human nature, was born a descendant of David to fulfill the covenant promises, and as to his divine nature, according to the spirit of holiness, was openly designated to be the Son of God with power in a triumphant and miraculous way.
So he's talking about Jesus in two terms. Mm-hmm. First of all, he talks about his humanity, and he talks about him as being a son of God. Tells you that he has to come through the bloodline. Say bloodline.
The bloodline.
Of humanity. Huh? Mm-hmm. Because our human sin, guess what? And a human had to redeem the sin human.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So it couldn't be a spirit. It had to be someone made of flesh and
blood.
Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you right there that Jesus was just like
us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the same things you deal with in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
the same warfare you have in your mind,
mm-hmm.
the same situation that you went through, he conquered.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And he did. See, he did.
He did it.
In obedience to God.
In obedience
Amen.
To God.
For what purpose? To show you can do likewise.
Amen.
You can do it.
Amen. Say, that's a lofty goal.
That's a lofty goal.
But it's achievable.
But it's achievable.
See, God always stretches you out of your human wisdom.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. your human wisdom keeps you locked down. Say, keeps you locked down.
Keeps you locked down.
It's a ball and chain. You ever seen anybody with a ball and chain?
Mm-hmm.
You're dragging that thing. You follow me?
Yes.
Why? It's an impediment. But when you follow the Holy Spirit, that ball and chain falls off, and you're able to not only walk, but you can elevate now. Because mm-hmm. I don't care how much healing you put in a balloon, if it's an obstruction holding it down, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You cut that anchor off, and it's going to what? Soar.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not a chicken. You're
neighbor.
Mm-hmm. No more chickens in the body of Christ. You be eagles.
Amen.
Eagles are designed to soar.
Mm-hmm.
And eagles are not designed to work. Eagles get to a certain level and they catch the jet stream. Jet stream is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will carry you wherever you need to go. You just got to get there. Say, get there.
Get there.
Say, get on.
Get on.
And let it carry.
Let it carry.
It's a type of shower of you submitting yourself totally, what? To him. But it's also fulfilling the old covenant. Say old covenant. Or what you call the Old Testament. Huh? And Isaiah said he will be a man. Just like us. Alright? Ezekiel, David, he's going to be a man. Just like us. Because God gave authority to humans, not spirits.
Amen.
Mm?
Amen.
So the man failed and had to be an equal type of man to do what? To take the curse off and become what we were so that we can become what he is.
Mm-hmm.
You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
Continue on, Rachel.
Verse what?
Four.
Mm-hmm.
And as to his divine nature, according to the Spirit.
Now you're reading out of the, just so you understand, she's reading out of the Amplified Version.
I'm sorry.
What Bible verse are you guys looking at? Who's got the King James?
I have both. I have both. I can align to the room.
Natari, you got the King James? Okay, read it out of the King James Version.
Alrighty. Romans chapter 1, verses 4. Yes, I got it. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead.
He had power.
Power.
According to the what?
The Spirit of holiness.
Say nothing in me.
Nothing in me.
Like the devil.
Like the devil.
Mm-hmm. Say purify.
Purify.
Say purify.
Purify.
So the word cleanses you up. Say cleans you up.
Cleans you up.
You ever heard, I like to use this example. What's that, I told for those of you who've been here, what's that little thing in the middle of the washing machine called?
Agitator.
It's called the agitator. And what is its purpose?
To get the dirt off the clothes.
Get the dirt out. No agitator. No clean
clothes. No clean clothes.
The word of God is an adjective.
Amen.
It will agitate you. When you want to do wrong.
It's going to agitate you.
It's going to agitate you. And you want to do wrong because you want to do wrong.
That ain't even.
It ain't like, it's not like someone's forcing you. It's like you want to do this. The Holy Spirit will begin to what? Agitate. Deal with you. Say deal with it. By the word. Say by the word. You want to be mad.
Yes.
You just, this person just going to mess you up. You want to be mad. In your mind. Say in your mind.
In your
you
mind.
You already kicking them. Stomp them. Blood coming out of their mouth. And the Holy Spirit say, you're judged. Because as a man thinking,
so is he.
What did Jesus say? He said, let me help you out, because the religious people will say, well, I'm not an adulterer. He said, yes, you are, because you've been thinking about that woman. You already had sex with her.
Ooh, that's true.
Mind, yes.
Because you said you're a murderer in your mind before you become a murderer in reality.
That's true. Same with the lust.
So it starts here, and it comes
out. Out of the issues of the heart.
So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth
speaks.
But out of the abundance of the heart, the man moves.
Ooh.
Or the woman what?
Moves. Translation.
So he says that stuff starts here. Murderers start here.
That's right.
Heart, mind.
In sync.
So the Lord says, I had to repent the other night. So, Lord, watching the TV show, wanted to beat somebody up.
Wait, what?
I'm thankfully, I said, Lord Jesus, have mercy. I killed this brother, and he thankfully carried.
Vengeance, vengeance.
See, that's where your mind can go.
Yeah, it can go there.
That's where your mind can go. You follow me. So Jesus, God is showing us Jesus. What chapter 1 is all about is about the power of the resurrection. It's the power of the gospel, so to speak. Because the gospel, hallelujah, is the good news. That Jesus died for you. Now you don't have to live as you anymore.
Amen.
You can live as him.
Amen.
You follow that. So I don't have to live in my old
ways.
Funky ways.
My old funky ways. Dusty. Filthy nasty.
That funky stuff. You understand what I'm saying? I'm taking you way back right now.
That's a song?
That's talking down.
Yeah. Please be quiet. I don't want that help.
See, that's before we got saved. Can't get an alcohol in the game.
What?
Love that funky stuff.
Was it? Does it stink though?
Whoa, 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 yeah. All right, let me get back in the spirit.
Concert coming soon.
Thank God I can remember some of those things. I remember how far, you know,
No more funky. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My wife and I be like, what's that show on, what's that one, with the one channel?
Unsung.
With the Unsung. Yeah. I kind of like to look like to see the old, you know, the old singers and everything. Mm-hmm. Most unsaved now. Because
They came out of the church. Yeah.
Because see, you live long enough, you realize what you ain't, your mojo ain't working no more.
Right.
Uh-oh. Mojo.
And most people, if you look at it, most of your great singers come out of the church.
Anyway. Yep.
Satan sucked them out of the church. Because the church didn't give them the opportunity to express their gifts.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? They didn't give them the liberty to express what their gifts. God gave you a gift to sing. He wants a place of expression. What better place to express it in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
With new songs. Say new songs.
New songs.
I remember when Andre Cross came out, you couldn't do nothing. Andre Cross, they were saying, you're going straight to hell. Andre Cross untouched millions with his music. We were in Richmond, Virginia at a conference, and this lady was on TV with a black suit and a collar saying, Kirk Franklin going straight to hell. And I was saying, man, what kind of judgment going on here? Kirk Franklin has brought a lot of people into the kingdom. Is he perfect? Ain't nobody perfect. We walk in into what? Perfection.
Yes.
Amen. That's good.
Continue on in Christ. We're walking what?
Into the perfected
state. That's a process. Say process.
Process.
Most people don't get saved and then stuff stop. There's some people who have significant salvations and stuff. They don't drink anymore, but guess what? The process of becoming Christ-like is a process, a journey that you must walk through.
That's right.
That's good. That's how I stopped quoting weed. No, for real. For real. I stopped just like that. I went to church. Pastor had a little Bible. He brought his crop in, and he was there for the whole week. He said, "Bring in the bottle of water on Friday night. Bring the water in." I never forget it because it's like I saved. I've been saved for real ever since then.
You've been saved for real.
The man called us up, and he said he was praying for the people. People falling out, screaming, crying, hollering. All this deliverance was happening. Me not understanding, not going home. Right. All I know, I've been saved. 6-7 months, I want to stop smoking weed because I still smoking.
Right.
That man, Kay, what do you want prayer for from the Lord? And I said, I was honest with myself, I want to stop smoking weed. I'm sincere with my heart, I want to stop smoking weed. He ain't said over the mic, he ain't say nothing. He said, she want to be delivered from something. He said, yeah, I command the spirit to come out of the name of Jesus. That man didn't touch me. He touched my bottle, my gallon bottle of water. Yeah. That man touched that bottle, I still. And I hit the floor. I don't know how long I was down there. I got up, and I felt like I was floating and walking on air.
Yeah.
I drunk that water for 2 weeks. Yeah. I ain't smoked in 21 years.
Come on now. Come on.
That part of my deliverance happened for me quick, and I know because of that is why I'm so passionate about deliverance, because it happened for me.
Amen. Amen.
Everything
that's
else
good.
Going on with what that's saying, everything else has been a walking out. I've had to walk
out. That's good.
But in my life, smoking weed was the one that stopped right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, mother.
That's good. The entire journey is by you in Christ.
Amen.
You follow me.
Mm-hmm.
You're in Christ. Whatever you want to turn over, guess what? He'll take
turn it. He will turn
the
it
over. The other situation. Say the other situation. He has to show you through living. Say, show me through living.
Show me through living.
That your way might not be the best way. You follow me.
Amen.
And as you keep bumping your head, say bumping your head.
Bump your head.
The light bulb comes on.
Yes, but it does.
You know, I need to tie into this power that's given to me in Christ. Because I actually have a serious temper, man. I had no problem jumping out of the car, jumping on you.
Not one.
Wow.
You know,
stupid.
I call that spirit to die.
Because I almost pulled out on me. Because I had a real bottle of temper. When I was playing Little League Baseball, Vernon, if they walked me, I'd put the baseball bat. Then it was like, okay, once the bat left my hand, I said, oh, Lord, if I miss it, he got the ball.
out of your pocket.
Yeah, right. I can't run because he can throw that ball. You know what I'm saying? Like,
anger.
Mad. And Lord walked me through that. Mm-hmm. Because he had to start dealing with layers. Mm-hmm. Say layers.
Layers.
Because all it stemmed from my father's rejection.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
He just shot. He took me right back. So he took me all the way back.
Got all the way back.
Took where that pollution started. Mm-hmm. And it started out of offense. I was offended that my dad didn't see me as something valuable. Then the devil starts playing with you. You start nurturing that baby. See, if you can be a man and nurture something that's going to be birthed and going to hurt you. Because we birth spiritual things. Just like a woman birth a natural thing, a man can birth spiritually.
That's going to teach itself. That's right.
God leads you to a place where it says, now, this is where you are. Do you want me to take that? Or do you want to continue to play with it?
Because
if you play with it long enough, it'll kill you. It'll kill your dreams. It'll kill my plans for you. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Yeah.
So the Father never overrides your desire for something. You have to have a desire to override it.
Yes.
And when you do that, the Father will take it away, but he always gives you better than what you had.
Amen. Amen.
It's like David says, give me beauty for ashes.
For ashes.
Your sacrifices came, you put it on a brazen altar, it burnt to ashes, the ashes went away, and the Father will give you the corresponding grace. Because that sacrifice represented you giving something to God. God always gives you back more than what you give him.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
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 Go ahead on, Sister Rachel.
Verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name.
Now listen to what he's saying here. Paul is confiding to us something very special that oftentimes we miss. It's not so much the apostleship that's very important. And grace, say grace.
Grace.
The ability to carry forth the assignment given. Mm-hmm. You follow me? Mm-hmm. I'll give you a perfect example. Vernon told me he ran track. But what if Vernon never ran track? What if he never went out for the track team?
He would never know anything.
His potential to be fast was always there.
Right? Yes.
He never gave it expression. Mm-hmm. Because he never went out for the track team. Mm-hmm. See, everybody has gifts, say gifts.
Yes.
But if you don't put it in a place of expression, that gift will die with you.
Right.
So your potential.
Your potential.
Mm-hmm. It's always there.
It's always there.
But what are you going to do to release it?
You're going to do to release it.
You follow me?
Yeah.
So God puts you in a natural world, say natural world.
Natural world.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, tells you that you have three components. Say body.
Body.
Say mind.
Mind.
And spirit.
And spirit.
We have three component parts.
Three component parts.
Guess what? All of them have potential.
All of them have potential.
Say all three have potential.
All three have potential.
See, there's some people who never exercise their physical abilities and never know what they have.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't use it, you lose it.
Right, true.
There's some people who never exercise their intellectual abilities. If you don't use it, you will
lose it.
Finally. There are people who never develop their spirit because they never come to God. Because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what?
Spirit and in truth.
But everything that you do requires a sacrifice.
Amen. Everything.
Amen.
Everything.
Katrina had to sacrifice to go back to college. What's the sacrifice? She got to set aside time. She got to set aside resources. She got to make up her mind. She got to fight when she comes home and she's tired. She worked all day.
Mm-hmm.
But she got to get to that computer to do that work.
True.
But it's a short-term sacrifice for a long-term benefit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You follow that? Mm-hmm. Say short-term sacrifice.
Short-term sacrifice.
For a long-term benefit.
For a long-term benefit.
You want to get yourself in shape. Say short-term sacrifice.
Short-term sacrifice.
Say long-term benefit.
Long-term benefit.
Your spouse has got to take you because you broke out. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about anybody in here, but that's what happens.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? You die early because you got congestive heart failure. Because you eat, but you don't run.
Yeah.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Real stuff.
You miss God because you had an opportunity to come to the Lord. People have ministered to you all your life. You say, girl, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. Boy, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. That's a crutch. So you got three compartments that you got to what? You got to recognize that if God birthed you, there's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to be on the same page. My wife was not athletic, though she could run. I guarantee you, there are gifts in her that she had, because her whole family could run. She could run. She could jump rope. I thought she started doing Muhammad Ali. We were running in behind me one time. We were doing the jump rope. I'm trying to do my thing. She goes. I'm like, what's she doing?
Let me get
jumping rope better than me.
Yeah.
Beat me bowling. I got mad. I'm like, wait a minute. Hold up. I turned Fred Flintstone on. Say talents.
Talents.
That are latent.
Not a latent.
My wife didn't like reading. Now she reads everything. Because I'm a reader. And if you want to spend time with your spouse, guess what? You got to yield to her.
Amen.
Bible says, if you want a friend, you got to show yourself friendly.
Mm-hmm.
I got married. I wanted to sit around and watch college football all day. Baby wanted to go and shop. I never did that. She got mad with me one day, left, Cleveland, Ohio. Holy Spirit said, the bed going to be real cold tonight. See, Holy Spirit told you, man, it'd be real. I was like, let me put on my clothes, man. I can always take Ohio State and Michigan. I can watch this later.
You
know, gotta go do some things. Mm-hmm. Follow me? Mm-hmm. Get your flesh out the way.
Get away.
Mm-hmm. And flow with the wisdom of the what?
Spirit.
That's what Jesus did for us. Through the what? Good news.
Good news.
Gospel.
Mm-hmm.
With God, all things are
possible.
But things that are impossible with men. Bible says are
possible with God.
Jesus says, all you got to do is believe what I say.
Amen.
Continue on.
Verse 6. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now check that out. See, he says they were what?
Called to be saints.
Say it was preordained.
Mm-hmm.
See, there was a teaching that came after Paul, and it was taught by John Calvin. John Calvin misconstrued the scriptures. Calvin believed that you were selected before you left heaven. In essence, if I could use George and Deborah as an example, Calvin's theory was this. One of them was ordained to be a hellion. The other one was ordained to be saved. So God created Deborah to go to hell. Created George to go to heaven. Just use them as an example. All right? So that's why the doctrine of predestination from his standpoint came in. And out of that doctrine came once saved, always saved. Why? Because if God predestined him to go to heaven, he cannot miss it. He gonna be what? She from that. She can't change it. She gonna go straight ahead, no matter what she does. Scripture does not back that at all. Go ahead, babe.
Just go.
I've had this conversation with somebody before, and she told me that her uncle told her that he gave her, she said that he gave her the example of, maybe my child. And no matter what she do, she always my child, whether good or bad. She's still my child. So I said,
Okay, I get that.
That's genetics.
Right.
It's not spiritual.
So, I think I went on and I said, well, I get what you're saying. However, but just because that's the mindset you once say, always say, but that don't mean that your actions and your works line up with that you still want to heaven when you die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the bottom line is simply this. If God gave us free will, and he's given everybody free will, Deborah never had a chance to exercise the will.
Because it was predestined.
Why? Because she was predetermined, predestined to go to hell. So if she didn't even want to go to hell, based upon Calvin's understanding of Scripture, she has no choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? So she has no will. That's what kills that. So when you hear people talking like that, all I said that was for is to give you context so you can know how people believe.
Yeah.
Once you understand how people believe, then you will begin to help their unbelief.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you follow me? Yeah. See, we've been brought into the world. The reason we have the decay is so that we can bring truth to people, because there's a lot of people bound by untruths. Mm-hmm. Though they think they got it from the word. So my job is to help you understand the origin of belief systems and correct them by the word of God. Because the Bible talks about in the book of Romans, you're going to see the free will. God has given you free will to choose him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because it's only free will that determines the level of love and commitment to an individual. Did I answer your question?
I don't know if I really had a question. Maybe my question was, did I explain it to her right? Because I went on to say that, okay, if that be your theory, if that's what you're saying, that's what you believe, just because you say, once saved, always saved, just because you say, that still don't mean your heart after God. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I ended up saying to her.
And see, that's another condition right there, because I said you used the term saved. Mm-hmm. Are you? That was the question. Mm-hmm. Are you? I'm talking about him.
Yeah.
Do you follow?
Yeah.
Because some people, I had a pastor say, you can be covered by the roof and not covered by the blood and go straight to hell. Mm-hmm. And it says you go into church, but you don't even know who he is.
Right.
Your life does not evidence a commitment to whom you say you love.
Yeah.
You follow that? Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, if any man will, let him come. Mm-hmm. And follow what?
Mm-hmm.
Me. Notice, if any man wills, what's he saying? If you choose, because I'll give you the choice to what? Reject me or deny.
I hear what Katrina's saying to me is that faith without works is dead. Because she's saying, you say you're saved, but your works doesn't show that. You know, your life is showing you're going to hell. But you're saying because you confess Christ, even though you ain't walking the walk. You know what I mean? That was something like that?
Yeah.
Now, what did Jesus say to that? If you love me, you keep my
commandments.
Okay. So what is the indicator?
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You follow me? You follow that?
Yeah.
It's all about what? Yeah. Love. So, it's the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not the words that you know, but it's the words that, because the word of God is really Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
John said, one says, in the beginning was the
Word.
The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Huh? And the Word was made flesh, and what? Dwelt amongst what? Man. So the Word is really the manifestation of the one you love.
Yes, sir.
You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, you were raising your hands.
Yes. So when Paul said, the beloved of God, beloved of God, and then called to be saints, was he basically? So the connection scripture that came to me was 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, where he says it is acceptable in the sight of God that all men be saved.
And none should
perish, be lost.
Mm-hmm.
So is he saying called to be saints in the sense that you are predestined by your self-will to receive salvation?
Absolutely. Jesus said, God says what?
He desires that none be lost.
No, not one.
So God's desire was that all might be
saved.
Huh? But all don't want to
be saved. Self will.
So it's back to your
will.
Do you understand? That's what makes, that's why God is so awesome. Because he gives you the ability to reject it.
Yeah.
Although it breaks his heart, he gives you the ability to what? To embrace him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And that costs you something. Say, costs you something.
Costs you something.
See, it costs me to marry her. It costs her to marry me. You know, it costs me. Because I can't love her without, guess what, yielding myself to
her.
And the only reason I yield myself to her is because I'm walking in the love of him.
So the love of Christ, you loving Jesus, is going to lead you to walk in his way.
Yeah, because your way is dying.
Right.
Wow, your way is dying. Got it.
It's the love of God that
repels you.
Right. And
makes
you walk that way.
No, not makes you.
I know it doesn't
make you,
but
you choose to. Which means, say which means.
Which means.
Sometimes you get, most times, say most times.
Most times.
You're rejecting you, so you can follow him. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 12.
Yep.
Consider yourself dead.
Die.
Offer your body as a living
sacrifice.
Say holy.
Holy.
Which means set aside and acceptable unto God. Then he says, because you have the Holy Spirit, because it's your reasonable service.
Reasonable.
It's not hard. Why is it not hard? Because you reckon yourself dead.
So
you reckon yourself dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brother Burns.
Well, like the example you gave last week, really you're sacrificing the flesh in order.
Yes, that's exactly right. And what did we say that the flesh was? It's your five senses.
In operation without the Holy Spirit.
Without the influence of Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
And in that example I gave you, Holy Spirit was leading what? The man who was made up of three component parts. What? Spirit, soul, and body. His spirit yielding to the Holy Spirit. Who God speaks to. Because Romans chapter 8 says, the Father speaks to you, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. Your spirit illuminates your soulish realm. And your body, guess what? Has to line up now.
Has to line up.
So everything, what? It's like connecting what? The dots.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the Holy Spirit is leading, then he's leading you by your spirit.
Amen.
And now you yield to the Holy Spirit in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And now the body will line up. Because your first inclination before you got saved was to cuss somebody.
Yes.
You cuss. You cut with your mouth. Now the Holy Spirit's in, you get ready to cuss. And he says, don't do it.
Bless Jesus.
And the level of your sensitivity to him says, oh God. Or if you break loose, be
beloved. Amen.
Catches you, and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. What's that? That's a subtle heart.
Yeah.
And now you say, God, forgive me.
That's good. Yeah.
That's the process of change. That's the journey. See, that's the journey.
That's
the journey. Achilles, you have a question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Stand up, big fellow. Speak loud. Let me hear you.
If you listen to God and do all... Mimi, translate.
Stand up and say that again.
Yes, let's go, brother.
And slow down so we can understand. Okay? Because you know what you want to say.
Yeah, you do.
What he's saying, if you listen to the word of God and do what it says, you have a good life on earth as well as in heaven.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Amen.
Absolutely right. Would it be challenging?
Yes.
Well, of course it is. Why? Because you have an adversary.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I have an adversary.
I have an adversary.
And you're the worst. You become the adversary. Because the devil has to use you to sabotage you. Do you follow that?
Mm-hmm.
See, he can't do a thing. What? James says, resist the devil and he will
flee.
Flee. That's what we've been talking about, right? We just based a book of James.
He don't even use your desire.
That's exactly right. Now remember, he's always trying to get you to desire something.
Right. Yeah.
Remember now, Adam and Eve. Thomas said, remember, even say Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve.
They were filled, the Spirit of God dwelt with them.
Yes.
The principle is this. Adam and Eve were innocent, but innocence is not tested. Innocence is not innocence until it's tested. You follow me? They were innocent. Say innocent.
They were innocent.
But innocence is not innocence until it's what?
Tested.
Or righteousness cannot be determined until it's what?
Tested. Yes.
So they were just like God. See, just like God. Because he made him in their image and in their likeness.
Correct.
Now this is where it comes when you don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. Now Satan came and said, God knows that if you eat of this fruit, he just sells it out.
Grace.
See, eat of this what?
Fruit. Mm-hmm.
You will be just like the Most High God.
Amen.
Mm. Immediately, right there, Bernie, they went to their physical senses. They went to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking for it. See, the enemy challenges you in three phases. This is how he challenged Adam and Eve. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Yes.
Yes.
The pride, what's the pride of life? I'm somebody. I'm big, bad. Look up to me. Kyle is mine. I'm driving this group out. You got to bless you. You got to push me. I'm Amazon. I'm Jeff Bezos. When I step into the room, y'all bow down.
Not today, sir.
The lust of the eyes. What do you see? Remember now, God is the greatest marketer. And what's the purpose of marketing? To create something that will create what?
Desire.
Yeah.
Satan creates things. That's why when you live by the flesh, the enemy will always play you. Vernon knows this. When I spent a lot of time in my early years with professional football players. Brother was one, cousin was one. You follow me? Had a lot of time. Satan sends these pretty girls. Most of these boys come from these polo towns.
Ain't seen a pretty
girl. Look good and be like, I got to have that.
No, don't.
But she's a setup. Because when you walk by the flesh, you can see the exterior. And the scripture says, judge nobody by the exterior.
That's right.
Judge them by the spirit. But if you're not in God, you can't judge by the spirit. Because you don't know. So this woman was sent to set you up. Set me up what it means. She's going to have a child, and she's going to take 50% of everything you make.
75.
Depends on where they live. That's a little different. Judgments are different. But he's been sent. Say sent.
Sent.
To steal your money. Swipe money. Because that's your legacy.
Yeah.
You can change your family.
Wow. Yeah. Look at that.
You can set up standards. You can set up a whole lot of things because, boom, money opens the doors to a lot of things.
What's that?
Positive things if you got the right frame of
mind.
Wrong frame of mind, it's a setup to rip you off because he's John 10:10. He comes into what?
Steal, kill, and destroy.
That's
right.
So you saw a lot of guys, boom, they get married. This girl been with every other brother on the team, but they ain't saying nothing because he won't listen. Yo, dog, leave her alone. You just jealous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got them rookie ears, need to listen.
Trying to tell you, when everybody on the team done hit that, go ahead and get married. You get cut.
Oh.
2 years later, divorce.
Ooh.
And he done worked hard all his life. She get 50% of everything he makes. Then, take you to court. Said, I want some more money. It can be a challenge, man.
So, in regards to everything that's being said, does that go back to when you have the desires of God's heart, then
you in regards to your desires because you desire what he desires. Or you desire what God desires.
That's exactly right.
So that way you can't.
The temptation will come, but it won't stick.
Right.
There's nothing in him like
that. There were times. I would get hit on by flight attendants because I should fly a lot.
Bye.
I was better looking at them now.
Stop lying. Oh, sorry. I said that.
I would bring the cards home and I would give it to my wife.
Yeah.
Now guess what? They weren't ugly girls. Because when they say no.
Bring the bait.
Because he don't believe you saved.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
He don't believe you committed to that woman.
Yep, yep, yep.
You're flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if I can play you,
yep.
If I can birth the desire in you,
mm-hmm.
I can pull you away from God and say, that's your creation. Look what I did to
him. Ooh. He want bragging rights. Got it.
His marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's your creation. Mm-hmm. And God simply said this.
I can restore him.
But you didn't do that to Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Reggie might have failed, but you didn't do that to Jesus. And watch. Reggie's heart's still open to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What you meant for evil, I'll touch Rita's heart, and I'll touch his heart, and they'll get back together in it, because they never gave up on me. Because I never gave up on them. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
The enemy's always trying to what? Trip you up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Paul is trying to give you in Romans a revelation of who you are and what you have in Christ. You don't have to take that route. You can, but you don't need to. You follow me? Many times I use that to witness. I found this when I was in college. You want to run a girl away from you, start talking about Jesus. Oh, wow, you say? Oh, you really believe in that Jesus stuff? This ain't gonna get another day.
Well,
do you follow me?
Yeah.
Or if they still pursue you, guess what? Still lead them to the Lord. Let a lot of girls to the Lord just to learn.
Go ahead, Pastor.
I used to take my wife and we were in Cleveland and some other ladies, and we would send them out in front of us to cuss carnal men. Ain't want to marry. They want to do nefarious stuff.
Right?
So we'd be walking behind them and got our Bibles in our little, you know what I mean? Might be kind of cold up there. We have our little leather coat and stuff. And bam, my babies and their decoys. Because
yeah.
They going to bite on the baby. Bernie, they going to bite on that baby. Y'all, baby, what's up? God, girl, you were so fine. What's your name?
So
we be like, brother, man, yo, what up, dog? How you doing, man? Oh, what's up, brother? I'm yours. Yeah, man. What's your name, dog? Mr. Man, you know Jesus? Oh, dog. Brother, what's up with your life?
They got
shit. Come on, man. Tell me something about you. Dog, I know. And boom, next thing you know, they're breaking it down, man. No, I didn't want to do this, man. And they start telling you their life story.
Mm.
Then you get real, say you're real.
Real.
And now they open up their heart, man, and the power of the gospel comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, we lead them to the Lord on the streets. Mm-hmm. Say strategy.
Strategy.
Secular men, guess what? That's just bad. They're running, and we're right there to save them. They don't need no saving because they're putting the word on them too.
Amen.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs help.
Amen.
And when you follow them after the heart of God, God will show you people's weaknesses, man. Give you compassion for them.
Amen.
Why? Because you recognize you at once, at one point in your life, just like them.
Yeah.
Mimi, you had a question? Or did I answer? I answered? Help me out, girl. Rachel, where were you?
Verse 8.
Verse number 8?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going?
Yes, baby.
Okay. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world.
Ooh.
For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established.
Come on, stop right there. My God. First of all, Paul is commending them. He said, your faith is known all over the world. How is their faith known all over the world? First of all, he's talking about it. Mm-hmm. I talk about y'all.
Thank you.
I don't ever talk negative about y'all.
Amen. We don't either.
I might be a friend of y'all. Amen. But I'm speaking positive about you.
Amen.
I'm declaring the will of God over your life.
We bless you.
Then he says, I desire to come to you that I might impart
some spiritual gift.
There's sometimes when I want to go straight home. Can I tell you, I'll be real?
Be real.
Mm-hmm. But this body doesn't dictate.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And when I began to allow the Lord, because I don't bring anything but a willful vessel. Say a willing vessel.
A willing vessel.
And I have a heart. See, on the shelf of my heart, I have a word.
On the shelf of my heart, I have a word.
See, I'm spending time reading my Bible.
Spending time reading your
Bible. So the Lord can stock me.
Stock you. That's good. I like that word.
Paul said, let the word of God dwell in you richly.
Richly.
Well, I put the word in so that he can pull out what you all need. Because before you showed up, he knew what you need.
Amen.
And so the word that he allows me to speak to you, I'm imparting something to you.
Yes.
And as you take it and research it,
Amen.
Then the Father begins to what? Reveal some things to you that are directly, authentically designed for you.
Yes. Amen.
That's why it's so important that you don't take what you learn here and you go put it on the shelf and you don't open your Bible again until you come back.
Right. Come along.
Because you miss an opportunity for the Father to share some things with you that he wanted to share that could have been something you needed in the week that you're going through. You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we read in the book of Matthew 13 chapter that the enemy comes to steal the word from you. What does that mean? That means that you get in your car, then he begins to put things on your heart. He begins to bring circumstances and situations in your life that you forget what you got that day.
Mm-hmm.
And the seed that was sown, it has no root in you. Because you didn't allow the opportunity to sow what you learned.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So the enemy's always working against you, although God is working for you.
Yes.
But
yes.
Guess what? You're the arbiter of whether that's going to be a benefit or a detriment.
Mm-hmm.
It's your decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
That's why time is so important. Your time. It's so important. Don't waste it. This is your Harvard.
Amen.
This is the University of Harvard in the spirit. God wants you to get this because what I'm giving you is simply something he wants to take and give you something deeper. Hmm?
Amen.
You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I tell people, bring your mind to church.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good.
Bring your intellect to the house. Mm-hmm. And let the Lord stimulate. Say stimulate.
Let it stimulate.
Yeah, there's one thing, and I'll tell you this. If you're at a fifth grade level, God can only talk to you at a fifth grade level.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. If you're at a collegiate level, he can teach you more. Because you have more capacity. You follow me? That's why taking a kid who's in the fifth grade and sending them to the university, they have no capacity. They're going to be what? Stunted.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be able to comprehend. How do you prepare yourself? You make yourself ready to receive what the Father has.
Amen.
So when you sit down, get your dictionary. Mm-hmm. Get your thesaurus. And begin to fill yourself with words.
Amen.
Because a lot of people don't understand words might mean different things to different people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what you think the word means might not be what the word actually means.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's why I tell you, it's the difference between revelation and discourse. Mm-hmm. Revelation comes from God. Boom. Birth something in you that you didn't know before, but you've read that before.
before.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Some people call it revelation, and it's really discourse. Mm. You said that's a revelation. That's not, it's been in the Bible all the time. You just didn't know.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. And I just revealed to you something that already was.
Yeah.
You following me?
Mm-hmm.
You following that?
That's good.
So as you begin to read, say read.
Read.
And expand. Open yourself up. When I say read, I'm really talking about studying and researching.
Amen.
The fun of studying the Bible is researching it.
Yes. Amen. That's right. That's right. Yes.
Getting books together, going online. It's so many tools, man, out here. So many tools. Now, there's no reason for someone to be ignorant. Hmm? But you get in and you expose that stuff. And another thing, questions. That's why we set up like this. Questions. Questions are necessary.
Amen.
Questions don't mean you're stupid. Questions simply means you don't know. You follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's stupid to sit up in a place and not know something and afraid to ask a question. That's stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
Ignorance is not a negative word. It simply means you don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
Ignorance doesn't mean you're not smart. Ignorance doesn't mean you have a high IQ or low IQ.
Mm-hmm.
Ignorance is simply what? Not knowing.
Not knowing.
You follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
And a lot of us walk in a certain level of
ignorance.
Mm-hmm. But we don't have to. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Amen.
If you lack any knowledge, it changes. That matches God.
And see, even that,
mm-hmm.
even you, God has, can't bring certain things to you if you don't have the intellect to imply it.
Mm-hmm.
He has to create an area in you so you can receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow that?
Because
mm-hmm. he can say certain concepts to you, but what's that mean?
Yeah.
Well, do you understand the Pythagorean theorem? I never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Says, okay, do some research. I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
You follow me? A lot of people don't think about that.
Yeah,
God won't speak to you about certain things because you ain't ready for it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's good.
Go ahead, brother.
I'm just going to make the sports real quick. I guess it's like,
Are you okay, Vernon?
Coach won't open up the playbook to his team if he don't feel like they can grasp.
That's true. That's
so
good.
He might use just four plays if he don't feel like his secondary can grasp all that. We might have to play man all that.
Mm-hmm.
You got some thinkers on the team that we can use about 10, 12 plays.
That's good.
Absolutely.
That's related.
That's exactly right.
That's true.
Exactly right.
That's good.
That's exactly right. Or he might utilize, you like cooking. God will bring it and put it into a venue that you can reference.
Yes.
You can understand. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
In essence, he'll bring to you that thing in a way that you can process it.
That's right.
Amen. You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm using a football sign. It's for time out.
She really don't understand. She.
Get it all the way when we talk about the word. So, y'all saying on the football field,
there's a manual.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking on the football field, y'all really out there, y'all thinking about what play y'all gonna do?
Strategy.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They got to.
Absolutely.
Okay, but I thought y'all already had that worked out in the huddle, is what I'm saying.
So, when they break the huddle, depending on when they break the huddle, then we go to a certain package. You gotta know which package.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what Vernon is saying here, let me give you a perfect example. they called a scheme.
Yes.
Now they're exposing the scheme now because we don't know the scheme.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, the offense is determining what they're going to use.
That's right.
To impact the defense. The defense can only respond to what they see and know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a certain formation is established, and they go,
that's 11 by 11.
I see what they get ready to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Vernon looks at it and goes, okay, this guy's going to go out, or he's going to do a flag,
mm-hmm.
or he's going to do a comeback. He's
mm-hmm.
going to go 15,
mm-hmm.
and he's coming back to 12, and he's expecting the ball to be right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You follow me? Now, because he understands that, guess what? He can do a counter strategy. I know what he's going to do, so I'm going to play off. Give them the impression that that's going to be open.
And it's not.
But I know what he's getting ready to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when that guy's getting ready to come, he's running, bam, 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 bam. And he speeds up to make Vernon break back up. He goes, bam. Hopefully Vernon is backing up. I'm old now, my knees don't work well. Well, Vernon is like, uh-huh. And he's looking at this guy, but at the corner of his eyes, he's got the quarterback. Quarterback blows up, and now he's come to the point of no return. He's going to let it go. Vernon goes, plants. And he says, oh, I got this right here. Boy's coming out of his break. The ball is in the air. Vernon's got the ball. He's going for a touchdown. Why could he do that? He knew the play before they ran it. He knew what his responsibility was, that wide receiver. And because he knew it, he could give the quarterback an impression that that play is wide open. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting ready to ball hawk.
Illusion.
I'm getting ready to get this joker and take it 60, 70, 40, 10, 5. Touchdown. Because he knew what that formation meant. And he understood what that formation could do in that situation. But what if there are four options to that play? And Vernon only knows one.
He's stuck.
Now, he can pick. He can play with Vernon. There are four options that this guy can do.
Only one.
If Vernon messes up,
he's got secondary
options. He can be taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't study all of their film. Mm-hmm. He only studied that one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They got four packages they can run out of one formation. But he doesn't know where the other three are. Now he's vulnerable to attack.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy knows that you like that didn't display. Yeah. You like weed.
Yeah.
Hmm? Yeah. You might not be over that weed. And every once in a while there's a kick in your leg. You're like, you're doing okay right now. But it's something inside of you. It ain't clear. But you can smell it. Mm-hmm. It's on the next three blocks.
No, he didn't. Boy, that's fresh. That's fresh nose.
And then the devil's like, oh, she responded. Did you see that guy?
Yeah, dog. You got a reaction. She was triggered. That's smoke. And you saw what she did?
Mm-mm-mm.
Opportunity. Now let's go mess with that head. Carry him in back in the day.
The attack is on. Mm-hmm. Because the enemy doesn't know what you like until you give them an indication of what you like.
And the light bulb goes on.
Say strategy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On this Negro, I don't believe he's saved. If I put the right people, he gonna fight like a criminal. Mm-hmm. So he begins to bring incidents into your life that tries and attempts to trigger that one thing that you have overcome. Or you may not have. Mm-hmm. And now he's trying to trigger you. And the Holy Spirit, who is your friend, can now come and go, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mike?
I definitely know that the devil can try to tempt you and turn you in a negative way as far as something that you mean like that is negative because you're human.
That's right.
I also believe that he can trigger you and try to tempt you by disguising something to seem like it is a positive thing. But it's actually, the end goal is to lead you
into
you
to offer. Oh, absolutely, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. The Bible says he comes as an angel of light.
Yeah.
It looks like a way out. Perfect. That's all Vernon did. Mm-hmm. He created an illusion that play was open. It looked good.
Right.
Yeah. Corbett said, oh, it looked good. But all of a sudden, I didn't see Vernon. He came out of nowhere. That's exactly what happened. He's just giving it to you. Using it in a football sense, but it is exactly what you said. Follow me? That job looked like a good job. Everything I wanted. But they tell you about that hellish manager that you're going to be working for.
Praise the Lord.
And the Holy Spirit said, you thought the Holy Spirit said take it.
Uh-oh.
Because you gave testimony.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. God gave me this job.
Mm-hmm.
Did he though?
And walked up in there, yeah. And you got whooped. Did you hear God?
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? Did you? You said God gave you the job. And now this hell on broke loose. Follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One or two things happened. Either God wanted you to go in there and deal with that, or you missed it.
You missed it. Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? But it always make it seem better than it is. And you have to really know that you fear God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same things. It's a discerning that he gives you. And guess what? That comes as you're walking with him. Say trial and error.
Trial and error.
You have to give him liberty. Say give him liberty. Like you feel prompted. I tell you, I'm going to give you a perfect example. How do you know you missed out? I drove by this homeless man. And I had food. And I felt the urge to give him my food. But my flesh, they are.
It's my lunch. No.
I just bought, and that smell just. And when I drove by, you know it. I missed it. And you go back and give it, and you go. And you know, the Holy Spirit said, that was your opportunity.
Yeah.
That was your opportunity. And you know it. You just repent and say, Lord, forgive me, and you look for another opportunity.
Yeah.
But those of it, and say, don't keep doing it.
Don't keep doing it.
Because you harden your heart. You follow me. Now you're not able to what? To respond to it.
That's right.
You follow me? That's why I tell people, be particular about this. Be, how should I say, intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can say, God told me to do this. I know this is God. And then, boom, you go, and it ain't nothing happen.
Yeah.
One, two things happen. You need your God. You hurt yourself.
Right.
Because
mm-hmm.
if God told you to do it, it's going to work out.
Right.
Follow me? If God told you to do it, it's going to work out.
Yep.
He don't tell you to do something that don't work out.
Amen.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying? And all that is just what? I need to check myself.
Mm-hmm. Introspect.
It's introspection. Yeah, I mean.
So in circumstances like that, what if, like, you for sure, you, like, think that you heard God, and so you go out and you do it, right? And then you don't see the immediate manifestation of it.
Mm-hmm. How do you know you missed it though?
Because you're going on a field.
There you go, George.
There you go.
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
You don't even know you missed it.
Right.
You follow me? And see, that's how the enemy plays. Remember, I said your emotions will cloud your sound.
Judgment.
Mm-hmm. So that's where patience, let patience have its
perfect work.
We're going to read about that in the book of Romans. Mm-hmm. You walk it out and you continue to walk it out, and guess what? The battle is being won in the mind. Because you're fighting against, I missed it. Who told you missed it? Where did you get that from?
Or you?
But then what's the line of,
what was the desire?
Missed it, and then feel
the desire
of it being released.
Mm-hmm. What was the object?
Because
that's the goal,
right? Yes, you gotta have the purpose of it.
Yes.
So if it's like based on like something selfish and you're just thinking that you should
do. No. You're asking God for something.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a perfect example.
It's purpose. Gotta have purpose.
I got up one morning and what says, put your portfolio in your car. He got me up one day and says, get in the car. I'm going to give you a job in an architecture firm today. Okay. I knew it was God because he had just given me a job a year earlier. And he made me do something I'd never done before. Made me get in the car and drive. Then he told me where to turn. And I walked into this place, two cars in the parking lot. I said, dang God. Ain't but two cars in the parking lot. This parking lot holds 500 people. 500 cars. He says, go in the store. I walked in the store. This white man came to greet me. He looked like he was straight out of the Ku Klux Klan. Can't hear me. And I went straight back to, I was like, Lord have mercy. this man gonna kill me. Can't help you. And he wasn't smiling. And I said, sir, my name is Reggie Wild. I'm a student at Florida A&M University. I'm looking for a job. He goes, what's your major? I said, sir, I'm studying architecture. Architecture? I was like, Lord Jesus, I know I messed up with this one. And he said, my son's an architect. He said, come on in, let's have a conversation. We started talking, y'all. He said, when can you start? I said, oh my God, I got the job. The Lord says, you were judging him by a preconceived standard and by the vernacular of his voice. And you attach a negative symbology with that. And you almost thought what I had ordained for you to walk into. The objective was to get you a job. Now you got the job. And that man's one of the best employees I've ever had in my life. Now I'm driving down the street and I'm pulling into this architecture firm. And now I'm not pulling in. He says, turn to the right. And what did obedient Pastor Reggie God do? He kept going. Then he said, didn't I tell you? Holy Spirit is speaking to me. I mean, it's so clear. I'm just saying, Lord, I'm scared. Ooh, he said, didn't turn the car around. Had this little black church sale, black kid, what it looked like, a drug dealer. Turn up in the parking lot. And I sat there. He said, how long are you going to sit in the car? Got up out of the car. Forgot all about the door. Went in the door. The gentleman came out. I recognized him. He was an adjunct professor at the college. And I walked up and I said, Mr. Bennett, you don't know me, son. My name is Reggie Goff. And I'm a student at the School of Architecture. He said, oh, yeah, I've seen you around.
You know me?
I didn't know. He said, oh, yeah, I've seen you around. He said, hey, buddy, he says you got a portfolio? Portfolio? In the car, I was like, oh, that's in the car. But God had told me to put it in the car. He gave me none of the instructions. Mm-hmm. Just put it in the car. So I went in, I got out of the car, and I went in. He said, okay, buddy, he says, I'm going to take this and I'm going to talk to my office manager, Alan Wolf. Alan Wolf had given me a B, but on me and my white counterpart had saw the grade book. We both had A's, but he gave me a B. And you know what happened? My mind went on a negative track. Oh, you ain't gonna get the job now because he don't like you. And you gotta deal with your mind.
That's right.
Because you start be creating alternative facts.
Right.
False evidence appearing real.
Yes.
And praise the Lord, I set up in there and I'm over here. You know, the Bible says be anxious for nothing. But with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be
make
known unto God.
Known.
And the peace of God that passes all of what? And the peace of God that passes all what?
Understanding.
So keep your minds and your heart by Christ Jesus.
Jesus. Amen.
And the Holy Spirit said, quit thinking. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of a
good report.
Think on these things. You see how the Holy Spirit will give you scripture to get
yeah.
your head together?
That's right. That's right. Yes, yes.
And he walked out of that conference room and Chuck said, Reg? He said, yes, sir. He said, hey, bud, welcome to the firm.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
Yeah.
I was like, hallelujah. I wanted to go praise that. When he got my baby, then I hugged him. I was trying to impress him. It wasn't a regular architecture firm. It was designed in a Japanese motif with a carp. It was surrounded by a lake of carp.
Yeah.
What night? Had a beautiful living area. It was just like a house.
Yeah.
Had a section that was for the draft room and everything, but you can entertain. So I'm putting my Frankie Beverly on now because I'm going to show up a little bit. Sweet place to work. Beautiful. But it was all because I learned how to listen to the Holy Spirit. And trust Him. Even when you're scared, do it. When it doesn't make sense, do it. And don't complain. Yes, Dora, you about to jump out your seat. I see you.
Yes, because I wanted to ask the question. See if it seals up Mimi's question. In the process of being obedient, trying to be obedient to Holy Spirit was your request, Lord, I'm seeking a job. Because he wouldn't send you through those tests if you did not have a request.
Absolutely.
And the thing with going through the process, the carnal process to an extent of, God, did I miss it, is when we lack purpose. Because we have a purpose life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God knows the thoughts that he has for us to give a future and an expected end. And so that expected end comes by way of us requesting to tap into his pursuits for us. So if you miss it, we got to ask, well, what did I ask? So he always gives you a check. He always gives you a tracking code to what you asked him for. Because your petition is not null and void. It goes back to something that you have requested of him that you want to see him do in your life. If that makes sense.
Well, that's a perfect example for me, because when I got the first job, I asked God, I need a job. Now, the thing I did do was I didn't ask him for the type of job.
Right.
But I was one of the best things. Now, the architecture job, I asked him for the architecture job.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad.
You
come on, guys.
Okay. Or we asked for the architecture job. And there was another place where I asked God for an exact dollar amount. And he gave me exactly what I asked for. And guess what he showed me in the car? He says, I would have given you more if you asked for it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But he's good, because guess what happened? My boss, hey, see you later, mother. I'm going to get y'all going. My boss came to me and says, I'm going to give you, I'm going to request a 30% raise for you. I said, my natural intellectual engineering mind. And you know, I'm saying, man, you're not going to make no 30%. Where he says, Negro, shut up. If that man want to give you a 30% raise, let him give you a 30% raise. Quit trying to, intellectually figure out stuff. Because I'm sitting up and saying, I said, that don't make sense. Who gets a 30% raise? Reedy says, Negro, shut up. You think too much. And she was absolutely right. That raise took me over six figures. The next year, get earned.
He wants us to get rid of our expectations. Like you say, thinking too much.
Yes.
Your expectations, just walk into it and just trust what that's walking by faith.
And when I say expectations, let him raise your level of expectation. Okay. You follow what I'm saying? Because my expectation was here. God was forcing me to go beyond, because 30% was beyond my belief.
Right.
Yeah, what people will get, if you got an 8% raise back then, and this was what, honey, this was 2000? When I started working for Deutsche Bank? Yeah, somewhere around there. He said 30%? Well, nobody gave him 30% raise. So when that thing came to me, I was like, hallelujah, Jesus, thank you, Lord. My wife was saying, see, quit putting limits on God. So, like Rachel was saying, make specific requests. Father, I need this, 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 and this. Perfect example. I want a blue car. I want spinner rims. I want to be a this, that, or the other. And God says, okay, I got something to work with now. You follow me? Do one or two things. I want you to downgrade, or we're going to make this happen.
That's right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because God don't let you put yourself in a position where you want to hurt yourself.
That's right. That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? You done got something and said, oh, thank you, Jesus, God, you're so good. He said, all right, I'm here.
That's right. That's right.
Third check, you struggled. Oh, Lord, you're no great. God said, I wasn't that. The Bible says the blessings of the Lord, they come and they have no sorrow.
No sorrow.
You follow me?
So
the Father says, begin to write it down. Write what you need down, what you want him to do for you. And get somebody to agree with you. I says, if any two of you shall touch and agree.
That's right.
Agreement is power. You can do that with the Holy Spirit. Ask him. He says, okay, I want you to be specific. Because specificity is what God desires. Because he's specific. Also, specificity also determines your level of faith.
Some people throw stuff out there, see if God gonna bite. He said, you don't need to do that.
Ooh. Not tell him, not tell him, fetch. Fetch God.
And sometimes.
Sometimes.
The Father might do it. Not a guarantee. Just to help your level of faith. Mm-hmm. But most times, say most times.
Most times.
He wants you to be specific.
Be specific.
Because you are in Christ. Say, because I'm in Christ.
Because I'm in Christ.
Mark chapter 11. And have a God kind of faith. He says, and say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast
into the sea.
And does not doubt in his heart, that man shall have of everything that he what?
Says. That's right.
So it says, ask it. Forget it. Say, forget it.
Forget it.
Thank God for it.
Thank God for it.
I have a friend, and I'm going to let y'all go. She was believing God. His father ran the house, and she said, God, forgive me a book.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all heard her testimony. She came. Jay. And I'm listening to her, and I'm saying to myself, that negative side of me, because I built her house. I'm like, that intellectual side. Somebody going to give you a book.
Where the money at?
Holy Spirit said, shut up. Don't even entertain him. Don't even entertain him. He says, watch. She prayed for that house that they're in 2 years before it showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband was like, all right, I get food, I ain't out there. One day in church, this gentleman, she lived in Sarasota. Said, the Lord put me on, I'll put you on my heart. You looking for a pool? She said, yes, I am.
Confident.
I guess I'm supposed to buy you a pool. Read it. We baptized some people in that pool. That pool came. That wasn't her husband's faith. That was her faith.
Yeah.
And the Lord blessed her with that pool. But she said she saw it in the spirit when she was asking God. 2 years before it showed up. Because it didn't look like they were going to qualify for the house.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was working, the house was standing. It wouldn't move. I'm telling you, the house would not move. We couldn't do anything to get that house to sell. And they showed up.
Because it was theirs.
And when they showed up, I said, I could feel the spirit on these people. I didn't know who they were. And I said, man, God. And they started talking. I said, they're believers. I could feel the Spirit of God on these folks. And they were walking around, and they started giving me bits and pieces. They found out I was a believer. Then they unloaded on me. Bam! And I'm sitting there going to myself, man, God, you used them to build my faith. I said, Lord Jesus. The pool was like 60-some thousand dollars. I was like, 60 a couple of new brothers. But it's according to her.
Hey.
And she's still that way, guys. Agency honey. They're both people of faith. What am I saying this for? I'm just simply telling you, if God is no respecter of persons, God will do the same for you.
Yeah.
But they all out for the Lord. They sold out. They straight up sold out. You sell out to the Lord, he'll sell to you. God won't. Bible says he will withhold no good thing from you. Withhold no good thing. But see here, all we're doing now is bringing out nuggets, extracting nuggets, man. Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 2, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it's our kings to search out the matter. And guess who the kings are? He says it's in there. Search it out. I didn't put it in for sinful men. I put it in for righteous men and women. But you got to search out the matter. You got to carve out the gold nuggets. You got to carve out the diamonds. Believe it. Oh, bring it before me. Ask me. You have not because you ask not, James says. And the reason that you don't have is because you can ask him with the wrong heart. So God doesn't want to hold no good thing. Why? Because he wants to use you as his mantle in the earth, as his showpiece. They're my children. That's why everything happened for them. That's my son. That's my daughter. And they're going to give me the praise. Man, how you get that? Bro, God is real. The Father loves me. He loves you too, but you won't do what he's saying. Right. So you can't do what I got. You know what I'm saying? He just wants to use you all to make others jealous. That's all. for being close to him. Father, we just thank you right now. We give you praise for the word that you've given us tonight, Lord. We love you, Father, and we desire, Lord, to be in your presence on a consistent, continual basis. You said you'll never leave us nor forsake you, Father. And you said in your word, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. I thank you, Father, for the word that was sown. Bless me, and I know it blessed them, Lord. I just thank you now that your word will begin to take them, hallelujah, by revelation, inspiration, God. Start to spark a fire in them. Begin to pull them in the place that you will have them to be, Father. That they will begin to walk in the truth that is being revealed in this word. I thank you, Father, that they're already blessed and they're highly favored. And that as they pursue you with everything that is within them, you will begin to open up realms, doors, portals of opportunity. And I just give you praise and glory, God, that all things are working together for their good because they love you and they are called according to your purposes. And we thank you in advance, Lord, for the doors that are opening, for the doors of prosperity that are opening for your people as they dig into the dedicate the instructions given by the word of God, that they will walk in these things and their obedience to the word will bring forth the manifestation of the good things that you have in store for them. We thank you, Father. We give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.